When asked, which Jewish holiday is the most widely enjoyed and celebrated? Who knows which holiday ends up being the answer? I know it sounds like it would be Passover, but it's actually Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the number one holiday, and I think it makes complete sense. Who wouldn't like Hanukkah, right? It's the festival of lights. 8 nights of present giving, the eating of donuts and chocolate gelt, and the playing of games. What's not to like? Okay, what is the second most enjoyed and celebrated festival for the Jewish people? No, it's Purim. No, it's Passover. I promise. It's Passover. But then think about it. It seems astounding. What do we do during Passover? We eat this hard, tasteless, crunchy cracker called matzah. We prepare our homes for days, some people for weeks on end, looking in every nook and cranny for that crumb. It's that holiday of major physical and spiritual preparation. But yes, year after year, Jews point to Passover as one of their favorite holidays, as one of the most enjoyable of experiences. And the extent to which Passover has been celebrated throughout time is astounding. Rabbi Lawrence Hoffman writes about the Union soldiers during the Civil War that pleaded with their commanding officer to take off just one night, that night being Passover, for a special religious purpose. Now, no Haggadah, no instructions of how to conduct a Seder. These soldiers came to the table with wine and with a brick representing Charoset, and they celebrated this festival of freedom. It didn't matter that the Seder looked a little different and that the wine and apples usually used for Charoset was now a cement brick in their hand. In the midst of war and bloodshed, these soldiers ensured that Passover would continue to be celebrated. Rabbi Sinai Adler, he was 15 years old when his family was sent to the Terezin ghetto. And after 15 months, he was transported to Auschwitz. When speaking about Passover in Auschwitz, he said, and you have to remember, how old is he? Just a little over 16 years old. So a teenager is giving this statement. After the nightly roll call, I approached one of my friends and said, tonight's Seder, and we have to observe it. It's true, we don't have any matzah. No wine for the four cups or bitter herbs to eat, but there's one thing that we can do. We can recite verses of the Haggadah. You see, they had passages of the Haggadah memorized. They sat in their hearts. And so Rabbi Adler remembers saying, the verse, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. And Rabbi Adler couldn't help but think in disdain, we were slaves then? In this concentration camp, can I really say out loud that we're free men today? But he writes, it seems to us that our subjugation today was much worse than those of our ancestors. But even so, the Germans could enslave our bodies and destroy us, but they cannot destroy our souls. They would not succeed in destroying our spirit. So today, this night, Seder night, Passover, we are free men. That statement Today, we are free men. Why is Passover pointed to one of those holidays as being so widely celebrated? I think it's because its message is altogether too relevant, altogether too timely and too universal. Every person here can point to an Egypt in their lives. For Jews living in Europe or Israel or even here in the United States, perhaps Egypt is an anti-Semitic group still threatening Jewish identity. And for many of us, Egypt is something that tears away from our self-worth. Perhaps a souring relationship. Perhaps a state of depression. A burgeoning sense of anxiety. For many of us, Egypt lurks around every corner. And the question isn't whether Egypt exists. It does. It will. The question that we are meant to answer on Seder night is, can we leave Egypt? When we feel as if we are stuck in the mud pits of slavery, and we know the feeling of that mud that strangles us and causes us to drown in our pity, will this be the year that we're able to break through that darkness and drink in the light of freedom? I think that's the message and the meaning of Passover. Too often we know that we share in our burdens, but just for a few nights we realize that we also share in the chance and opportunity to renew a sense of hope for the year. If you think about it, the Seder itself is a symbol of that freedom. In the Haggadah, we recite, in every generation, we're obligated to see ourselves as if we have personally left Egypt. But Maimonides, the great medieval commentator, says that we shouldn't say that word see. Instead, we should swap out the word see and replace it with the word show. In every generation, each person is obligated to show how he himself has left Egypt. So how do we do that? Think about what we do on Seder night. We act out freedom. We recline. We dip twice instead of once. We sing out loud, we exchange stories, we act as if we are free in order to feel as if we are free. In his book, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl speaks about those feelings of freedom that he experienced right after the conclusion of World War II. He writes, one day, a few days after liberation, I walked through the country past flowering meadows for miles and miles toward the marketplace near camp. Larks rose to the sky and I could hear their joyous song. There was no one to be seen for miles around, nothing but the wide earth and the sky and the jubilation of those larks. I stopped, looked around, and up to the sky, and I went down on my knees. And at that moment, there was very little I knew of myself or the world, but I had one sentence in mind, always the same. I called to the Lord from my narrow prison, and God answered me in the freedom of space. How long I knelt there and repeated that sentence, memory can no longer retell. But I know that on that day, in that hour, my new life started. Step for step, I progressed until once again I became a human being. Step by step, we can progress, but it means we have to be willing to take the step. There's a story in the Midrash that speaks about two men, Reuven and Shimon. And all of a sudden, they're standing in the middle of the Sea of Reeds as the miracle, the splitting of the sea, occurs. And what happens? Reuven looks at Shimon and says, Shimon, what is this? What's all this muck? And Shimon looks back at Reuven and says, there's mud all over the place. And Reuven says, it's just like the mud pits of Egypt. There's mud everywhere. It doesn't matter if we're in Egypt or here. There's mud there and there's mud here. Our life challenges are many. They may be different, but they're very real. But Passover teaches us that it's time to stop looking down at our mud and to start looking up at the sky, at the miracle of life, and to begin that search for hope, grasp on, and start our lives again. We have a choice. We can continue to live in our Egypt, or we can step on to Holy Land. Why do so many Jews feel tied to the Passover festival? Because no matter our hardships, no matter our strife, hundreds and thousands of Jews that have come before us for just a few nights have taken that time to break through their mud, look up at the sky, and hold on to hope. So I am part of those thousands. I share the stories of those soldiers, of those survivors. We all share in this collected memory together. Let's get out of the mud. Let's look up to the sky. Thank God, Passover is almost here. Shabbat Shalom.